Blog Talk Radio.
You've been waiting and anticipating and all of that good stuff. So here we are, and welcome everybody. Welcome all of our faithful listeners to this edition of Christian Talk, and it's TNT time on Christian Talk. Hi, Pastor Tasila. How are you today?
I'm so blessed. I am on fire. I am really blessed right now.
All right. Good. Good. I'm so glad that you blessed today.
No, I have to say that because somebody asked me a question, or nobody didn't ask me anything. We were talking, me and a few friends of mine, and they brought up a subject about why do Christians celebrate Halloween?
And it
just threw me for a loop, and it's so, you know, I said, because truth has to prevail in the earth. You know, it's so much delusion in the earth right now. We need the truth, and thine word is true. We need to stick in the word of God, Christians. If we read and stay committed sincerely to God's word, which is true, then you won't fall for all this delusion. A lot of delusion out here. Halloween is one. More than two genders is another one. Those are delusions from the enemy.
It's so many. Right. And it's so many of them. You know, and, you know, it's a couple of things, too, like with Halloween, a lot of people know, there's a lot of Christians that know that that's not really a godly holiday. But they've been doing it for so long, for so many years, they don't know how to break it to their children. And it's even the same with homosexuality. A lot of people have gay people in their family, so they want to support, you know, the gay people in their family. Well, I mean, you know, there's gay people in my family, but I don't condone it, and I don't support that lifestyle. And they either, you know, are mad at me or they're not. But I can't change who I am and who God called me to be. The same with Halloween. A lot of people disagree with us when we talk about Halloween. But that's just the truth of the matter. You're celebrating a demonic holiday. It's Satan's holiday.
Which, right.
Love that day. That's bigger than Christmas for them, you know.
That's their Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a good subject matter, and man, maybe that we can talk about that on a different program, another program.
It's just that I just don't understand why are Christians all involved in stuff that's none of their business. That type of stuff belongs, you know, Satan loves that Christians help him celebrate his sacrifices that he made all year. And his delusion he brought upon the earth, you know.
Yeah.
But we got to be a little brighter, a little smarter than this. We got to come up a little bit. We got to get up.
Yeah.
Come, like the Lord said, come up hither. We got to come up higher.
Yeah, we got to come up higher. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's so true.
In the spirit of the Lord.
You know, it looks all cute when you dress up your little girl to look like a little princess and your little boy is dressed in the Star Wars type of whatever. All of that looks cute, and you take pictures and all of that, but understand you're participating in something that God doesn't like. He hates witchcraft, and this is a witchcraft holiday, and he hates it. He hates witchcraft. So if you're a true believer, I know some of you, it might be hard for you to hear this, but do not participate in that. Don't participate. And, with different churches having your Halloween programs and people all dressed up and all of that, you should have absolutely nothing to do with it. October 31st should be any other day that you worship the Lord like you usually do. Don't go and try to do some other satanic mess. You're just doing the will of Satan. Okay, we said it. You may be upset, but who would we be? We wouldn't be who God told us to be if we didn't tell you the truth. And what we're telling you is the truth. And we'll go into more detail about that, okay? All right. So let's see here. Right now, just go ahead and call your friends and family members and tell them to tune in, that today is a really good program. And you can pick up your computers, and you can get your inboxes and your cell phones and tell them to dial in 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Or just click on the picture or the link on Facebook to listen from your computer tonight and all this week. Or just click on the link wherever you see the post of this particular show, and you can hear it. And don't forget that you can see T. Myron Tasila on Facebook, YouTube, and many other social media platforms. Just look for The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain. You can do that on YouTube, and just put in The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain, and it'll take you right to hsbn.tv. It'll take you right to it, okay? And then you can just go ahead and pick whatever program you want to listen to, because we have a lot of them. So you can pick whichever one you want to hear, okay? All righty. Also, we're on different radio programs also, like iHeartRadio and many others, even this one. So so just go ahead and do that. You will be happy. Don't forget that we have a book called Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery by Pastor T. Meyer McCain. I really encourage you, can't encourage you enough to get this book and read it. Pray before you read it, and then read it and watch the Holy Spirit move, okay? Also, if you're looking for a place to worship, come and worship with us at Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786, every Sunday at 1:30 p.m. So come and join us. That's 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786, every Sunday at 1:30 p.m. Come and join us. And then, after that, I just want to ask you guys to just stay right there. Do not go away. We will be right back. Stay right there. listening to Christian Talk, and it's TNT time on Christian Talk. Praise the Lord. And here we go. What is this? Here it goes again. What is TNT moment. Okay, our TNT moment, and Pastor Tasila, what are we going to be speaking on today?
We're going to talk about, we got two churches going at the same time. One is a worldly church and a worldly system, and one is a remnant, and it's the bride of Christ. That's separating. And
right.
I made that clear. We're talking, and we are speaking to the bride of Christ. We're calling out to the remnant, those who love the Lord with all their heart, the church who is his body. They know the difference. They stand for the truth. We're talking about those who love truth. See, there's a spirit of delusion out in the earth right now, and it makes you think things are correct that are not. And that's why God has his absolute word of God. And those that are the bride, they can hear. It says the spirit in the bride says, come, the spirit of the Lord, when it's calling you, the bride can hear the Lord drawing her to him. It knows what is of God and what isn't. It's the church who is his body. That would be you if you love him. And in the book of Revelations 19, it says, let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride, you guys out there that belong to the Lord, you're making yourself ready. You're not making yourself ready by going to the Halloween jam, but you're making yourself ready by submitting to the Holy Spirit. And it says, you know this relationship, I got to tell you guys something, between God the Father and his church, the bride of Christ, is so unique and is so beautiful, just as a husband and a wife are to be one flesh. This is the same analogy of Christ and the church. And a lot of people, they get saved, and if it was just getting saved to be saved, I don't know if I would like that deal. But when you figure out what you are to become, you know, some people just want to be saved because they want to be saved from hellfire, but they don't understand what they are to become or what their will. Sometimes people just get saved or come to the Lord so they can receive answers to prayers. But the true lovers of God, they come into a revelation of something different. It's not all of that. It's what they are going to become in him, who they are in him. And the true lovers, they love him for who he is, not for what they can receive for him. And that's the true lovers get the revelation of who he is and what true salvation is. And a matter of fact, true lovers, they can care less about asking for anything for themselves. They rarely ask for themselves. Most of the time, they're praying for and interceding for other people. Just to be in his presence is rewarding enough for them. Just to be, you know, close to him, knowing he's hearing them, he's downloading information back to them and instructing them on this is the way, walk ye in it. This is a relationship between the Lord and his bride. And this is a free will love affair. You see, in John 14, 15, 31, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep and obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will stay with you forever. we all can use a chaperone. That's right.
That's
we
right.
We all can
Amen.
Use a chaperone in this walk on the pathway. And that's the Holy Spirit who is with us until the end. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 2:32, the Lord asked a question. He says, can a bridesmaid forget her ornaments or bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. In other words, you wouldn't show up to your own wedding with just workout clothes on, would you? Or
right.
just come with your bare flesh, right? You
right.
see, it's not having on the correct attire is a serious offense. And let's see what the word has to say about concerning that. In Matthew 22:11, it says, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment on. And he said unto him, friend, how camest in here not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. So it's an ultimate offense not having on the right attire. You can lose all and find yourself in the land of darkness by not having on the right attire. You see, this man, he desired the honor of attending the wedding feast, but he did not want to follow the custom of the king. He wanted to do things his own way. His lack of proper dress revealed his inner rebellion against the king and his instructions. So he was executed as a rebel. Only through the yielding to the Holy Spirit of God would make you able to have the proper attire on. The called is the invitation. Everyone is invited, but the chosen are the ones that when he sees you, he sees himself. You see, you are his image bearers. What? What are you saying? Yes? You are his image bearers. Remember that scripture in Psalm 17:1-5 that says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And my favorite one in 1 John 3:2 says, dear friends, now are we the children of God, and what we shall be has not been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. You are his image bearers. Oh, my goodness, that was a lot. I hope you guys got that.
Right.
If you didn't,
yes.
I'm going to have to say it one more time. Dear friends, now we are the children of God. All of you all are. And what we shall be has not been made known. You're not that right now. It hasn't been made known what you're going to be. But know this, that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. Hallelujah. Woo.
That's beautiful.
We shall see him as he is. You are his image bearers.
Yeah,
the ornaments
right.
of the bride is the putting on of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? If you forget God, then how can you be dressed properly? The ornamental adorning gifts are from his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The bride, she is his Shulamite lover who is matured and stands united with Christ. When the going gets tough, she stands and says, where would I go? I'm not moving. You alone are my life and my breath, and he is her bridegroom lover. They have daily communications, they fellowship, and their spirits are combined, and they both say come as one unit, just like in Revelation 22. It says the spirit and the bride says come. These are God's covenant keepers. Why? Because he is their first love. Because they keep God in high esteem. They are in awe of him. and in reverence of him. They humble themselves to him, and they keep the secrets of the Lord. These are they that understand that they must grow into the fullness of the stature of the fullness of Christ. They must grow or undergo a full Holy Spirit transformation. These are they that have found themselves in the secret place of the Lord, abiding, and from that place speaking the oracles of God, allowing Christ's mind to be in them. They live in the reality of their sanctification and regeneration. You know, we're undergoing a process of in the Holy Spirit, and a lot of times people forget that there are progress and work. And these people don't forget. They live in the reality of their sanctification and their regeneration, their new birth in Christ Jesus. They cherish it. They don't just say, oh, yeah, I'm part of a born-again army of the Lord. They cherish being their new birth and what Christ is doing in them and mm-hmm. what Christ has done for them. They cherish their growth in him, their progress and changes, and they are awaiting the coming of their bridegroom lover. You know, some people are not even awaiting Christ. They're like, Lord, well, don't come now because I got to, you know, get this new job.
Right.
I want to buy a house or I want a new wife or I want to go, you know, I want to have babies or I want to make a million before you come. None of that matters. We are waiting, the real true bride, the lovers, they are awaiting his coming. They're faithful virgins. God calls them his hidden wise ones, his bride. In the book of John 17, even Jesus prayed a beautiful prayer to the Father, and he said, for the very glory you have given to me, I have given to them, so that they will be joined together as one. And experience the same unity that we enjoy. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them. Jesus prayed to the Father for his Shulamite bride, his church. He said that they, the bride, may be one with us, even as we are one. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
For your
That's
love
beautiful.
Will live in them, even as I live in them. There you have it, Christ in you, the hope of glory. These are hard sayings. Just like if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, then you will have life in you. Christ in the church body is easily accepted. But what about Christ in your body? I use words like union, oneness. And what about you being the temple of the Lord? Yes, your body being his workstation. In the book of Solomon, we see Jesus as our bridegroom lover. And when we read, we see how Jesus and his bride in Solomon 6:4, he says, oh, my beloved, you are lovely. When I see you in your beauty, I see a radiant city where we will dwell as one.
Mm-hmm.
The New Jerusalem, the radiant city. He said, we're going to dwell as one. And like I said, that's the New Jerusalem. It is the city where God and man live together. It is the city where God and man dwell in holy union as one, just like Jesus' prayer in John 17. It goes on to say that even the host of angels stand in awe of you. 1 Peter 1:10 tells us that even angels want to know. Know what? They want to know the glories that follow the Shulamite bride, the gifts of salvation by Jesus Christ, her bridegroom lover, the grace, the love, the mercy, and the faith that comes, that completes her full transformation. Jesus says in Solomon 6:8, I could have chosen any from the vast multitudes of royal ones that follow me. And Solomon 6:9, it reads, I could have had 60 queens, 80 brides, and an endless number of women, but there is only one who is my beloved dove, unraveled in beauty, without equal. Behold, beyond compare, the perfect one, the favorite one. Others see your beauty and sing of your joy, brides and queens chant your praise. They all say, how blessed is she. Remember how we spoke in the past about you being God's light? Well, he continues to say, look at you now, arising as the day spring of the dawn, fair as the shining moon, bright and brilliant as the sun in all its strength. Remember how I told you guys that you, the bride, and the army are the same? He continues to say, you are astonishing to behold as a majestic army waving banners of victory, because his banner over us is his love. In the book of Solomon, the bridegroom speaks, then the Shulamite speaks, or the bride speaks. It's a language of deep love. We are one spirit with our bridegroom king. You have become the Shulamite, the bride of Christ, and we must put on Christ, put on his conduct in our lives as closely to the way he would were he in our position at this time. We are to practice his way of life because it's eternal life. It will help prepare us for the kingdom and enable us to glorify him here and now. Don't you just love him? When you are a part of this, you understand everything I'm trying to tell you. It's just a love relationship with the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ that we love so much. And we make ourselves ready to we anticipate him daily, and we look at things the way he looks at it. We see it his way, not in the delusion of the world, the way the world sees things, but we read his word, and that's where you will find the mind of Christ. And we put on his mind, and we see things exactly the way he sees it. Don't you just love him? Calling the bride of Christ, right, Pastor T? We just calling all the real lovers of God. Come on in. Lord wants to use you guys in this hour. Well, we'll be right back, and when we come back, Pastor T is still calling the bride.
Amen.
To begin to live this world.
Christian Talk. Praise the Lord. Yes, we are speaking to the bride of Christ, calling the bride. You know, praise the Lord. Man, I tell you, marriage is so important. It is very sacred in the eyes of God. Marriage is the beginning of a family. The husband and the wife are like a seed. They multiply. The two become one flesh, which multiplies and become a full family of three or more people, and sometimes many, many more in the family. Like Pastor Tasila comes from a kind of a large family, and I had quite a few in my family as well. God wants a family. Therefore, he instituted marriage so that Adam and Eve could multiply and replenish the earth with people in God's very own image. That's what he wanted. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, the Lord said, it's written that, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that moveth upon the earth. Jesus wants a wife. Go ahead. You had a question?
What about the first thing he said, let us make man in our image and likeness?
Yes. Yes. Let us make man in our image.
I thought you were going to use that scripture because it was just like, bam. Well, that was first when he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness.
Yes, that's what he said.
Wow,
and then after
Jesus
that, he wanted,
made it, fulfilled it.
Yeah, and after he made man in his likeness and image, because he did, he gave them a command to multiply, be fruitful and multiply. So he wanted more people in his image and likeness. Jesus wants a wife that he can become one with so that they can complete the mission that Adam and Eve failed to do. They failed to complete the original mission. They failed to multiply and replenish the earth with people in God's full image. They were not fruitful, and they did not take full dominion over everything in the earth, and they did not subdue the earth, or in other words, they didn't rule the earth. But Jesus wants a bride that will overcome and rule with him over the earth. That's why he will place us on his right hand, as it is written in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Jesus and his bride is going to fill the earth with people in his glorified image. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his own son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, which is the glorified Jesus Christ. That's the image that God wants us to be in. If we're in the image of the glorified Jesus Christ, then we're in the image of God himself. It is written that we are to enjoy the love of your youth. We are to enjoy the love of our youth. No matter how old or young you are when you get married, the love you feel cannot be compared to any other love. That's why the day of your marriage is a day of excitement, a day of beauty, a day when family and friends come together with love to be witnesses of your love and dedication to your spouse. As it is written in Matthew 25, verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And the original scripture says to meet the bridegroom and the bride. Many will be invited to the wedding of the Lord Jesus Christ to be witnesses of the oneness between Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, and his bride, his last day church. Even as John the Baptist said in John chapter 3, verse 29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. If you are not the bride, at least be a friend of the bridegroom, so that you can be among those who are blessed enough to be invited to the wedding. God sends his Holy Spirit to adorn the bride of Christ with the beautiful glory. A good example of this is when Abraham, who was a type of God, this is when you're reading the scriptures, the Holy Spirit will give you the revelation behind it. Abraham, who was a type of God in this scripture, sent his servant to his kindred to find a bride for his son. Now, in this story, Abraham was a type of God, and his servant was a type of the Holy Spirit. And Abraham's son, Isaac, was a type of Jesus. Abraham's servant brought forth jewels and clothing and clothed Rebekah, who was a type of the bride of Christ, the one that was to be married to Isaac. He clothed her, and with jewels and really good clothing. God sent his Holy Spirit to clothe us, the bride of Christ, with the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and with the seven spirits of God. She is clothed with the light of his glory. Revelation 21, verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The bride is clothed with jewels and beautiful, high quality and expensive clothing. This represents the glory of God being upon her. When John the Revelator was shown the Lamb's wife, he was taken up into a high mountain. That mountain was Mount Zion. And as he went on to describe the bride, she was described as jewels. Revelation 21, verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. He was shown the Lamb's wife, and he had to go up into a high mountain. As you go on to read the rest of this chapter, Revelation 21, verse 9, go on and read the rest of that chapter. You'll see how she is made of jewels, which represents the glorious brightness of God's glory. Jesus falls in love with his bride. She becomes irresistible because she has taken the gifts given to her by the Holy Spirit, and she puts them on. She makes herself ready with the clothing and jewels of the Holy Spirit. Revelation 19, verse 7 through 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Jesus wants to present his bride to himself, so she must be perfect. She has to be perfect without spot or wrinkle, as it is written in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, that he might present it to himself, talking about the church, his bride, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Jesus is looking for his bride. He wants her to be ready for him. He wants her to be in a time of love when he passes by, as it is written in Ezekiel 16, verse 8. Now when I passed by you and looked upon you, behold, your time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. Yeah, or yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. He went into covenant, a promise, an agreement with us, with his bride. When Jesus spreads his skirt over us, that's a promise that he will marry you. It is his glory. His skirt is the fullness of his Spirit. We are sealed. He claims us as his own. God wants a virtuous bride for his son, so he gave us types of what a virtuous woman is. like Rebecca, who watered the camels of a stranger, Abraham's servant. He was a stranger to Rebecca when he came there. And she watered his camels, and that was a big task. It took a lot to do that. But she was a virtuous woman. It was a big job. Ruth, who had Boaz to spread his skirt over her as a promise for marriage. Esther, who saved all of Israel from being destroyed by their enemies. I can go on and on with examples of virtuous women. I can go on and on. So ask yourself, are you a virtuous woman? Let your husband answer that question. And he can compare you to the Proverbs, to Proverbs 31, the Proverbs 31 woman. Do you fit this description as a people and as a church? Proverbs 31, she's a wife of noble character. Who can find a wife of noble character? She is far more precious than rubies. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She rises while it is still night to provide food for her household and portions for her maid servants. She appraises a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants vineyards. She girds herself with strength and shows that her arms are strong. She sees that her gain is good and her lamp is not extinguished at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for they are all clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known at the gate, at the city gates, where he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the days to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband praises her as well. Many daughters have done noble, but you surpass them all. That's his bride, his virtuous woman. That's us. If we, just examine yourself as a church, as a people. Is that us? Is that us? Can the Lord say all of that? Are we the virtuous woman? Man, you have to be a virtuous woman to be a bride of Christ. We're to be brides of Christ. Women are to be the sons of God, because in God's kingdom, there's neither male nor female. So we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. When he comes, we want him to come and see that we are ready. We have made ourselves ready. We have prepared ourselves, and we are ready. We made ourselves ready. And then we can welcome the great King, the mighty King. We can welcome the Lion and the Lamb.
Kingdoms. chain will break, as broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
TNT. Praise the Lord. Thank you,
yeah.
Jesus.
I want to bring people, you know, into the part of Ephesians that they can study regarding the bride. Has a lot of scriptures in there for them. And in one part it says, until we all, meaning the church, all of us are
mm-hmm.
the church that is his body, until we come and to the unity of the faith in Jesus Christ, and
mm-hmm.
of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, get understanding of what we're saying, of a perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So here is where God is headed, that Christ is perfect. We're coming into the measure. We're measuring up to him. He's bringing
right.
us. We can never do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that you all won't get so frustrated. But he's
yeah.
bringing us to the full measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is how the Lord is trying to get the church to make herself ready, and so ready that she is able to become one with the bridegroom lover. Like in Revelation 21, it says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband, clothed with Christ.
Mm.
That's the only thing that can make us beautifully dressed, is when we put on the fullness of Christ Jesus and become in the full stature of him. Clothed with Christ. Isn't it just beautiful? You know?
Yeah, man. Man, can you imagine that, being clothed
mm-hmm.
with the beauty? We will be beautiful people because we'll have the beauty of Christ. Can you imagine that? That is just mind-blowing to me. It blows
yeah.
my mind. Yes, to be free.
It's really hard to comprehend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Actually. It's
being
really
free from sin. Yeah.
Nature fully changed.
Yeah. you don't have any more headaches, body aches, toothaches, or whatever. You're in a body that's not heavy, but it's light. And
mm-hmm.
it's just, you know, just to think of your mind is constantly on the Lord, because you have found the full, pure love of your life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything mm-hmm. in your life will be about him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And once we really see him and experience the Lord, you can't help it. You will fall in love with him. But that's just how it is. You will fall in love with the Lord. A lot of people don't know him. And even those that do know him, if you know him, you even have that desire to know him even more, because you want more of him, and more and more.
Yeah,
you know,
never enough, huh?
Yeah. We have to love our way all the way into him. Praise the Lord. Man. All right,
you
everybody.
Were gonna
say thank
you.
You
heard someone say something?
Oh, yes, I did. I heard Bill say that that we believe ourselves into him. And
mm-hmm.
and that's what we do. We continue to believe in him till we're in him.
Was
we
that
believe
Bill McGill?
In him. That was Bill McGill. And and it's the same with love. We love our way into him. So
mm-hmm.
that's what you have to do. Thank you for tuning in to Christian Talk. We really appreciate all the faithful listeners. We hope that we've been a blessing to you and to help you understand a little more. If God gives it to us, we give it to you. So we're learning just like you are. So thank you all for tuning in, and we will see you again next week by God's grace. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.